Coach, do you recall who you first saw or grabbed after you saw it with a catch?
No, I felt, rest in peace, a little like Jim Valvano, just running around, not sure what to do and where to go. So I don't know who. A lot of the big guys beat the hell out of me, so it's a wonder why they play in the NFL, and I never did. You know, yelling at me and hugging, and, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, 6 inches off the ground with a big hug. So it was, honestly, it was just a wild moment.
Dan Quinn, after the game, answering Tommy's question. Yeah, I had not heard that answer yet, Denton. And I was sitting here going, that was Valvano. That was Valvano. After the famous 83 Derek Wittenberg to Lorenzo Charles. As Wittenberg says, pass. It was not a pass. What an absolute memorable moment in franchise history. And as I mentioned at the very top, it's extra special because the play involved a quarterback that through 7-plus games is having the greatest rookie season in the history of the league for a rookie quarterback. And he's ours, and it looks like they finally have one. Incredible. All right. Continuing with my game take, and I'll try to rip through the rest of this pretty quickly. On the list of things that I liked after, you know, the final two plays, the overall readiness, Jaden Daniels, I gave him an A. It may not have been the strongest A I've given him for the season, but it's an A performance. He's that good. Terry's on the list. 5 catches, 125 yards. Remember Denton when he was averaging like 4 yards per reception after the first 2 weeks, I think it was? And people are going, what's going on? Yesterday, 25 yards per catch. I think his average is up to 14, 15 yards per catch, something like that. Look, it makes a difference having a legit quarterback to play with for the first time in your career. On the play before his 61-yard bomb, that's the only one I think he could have caught it. But it was high. But I loved Terry's competitive spirit. There is something in him. We've always seen it because he's such a pro. But now to be a part of an actual real functioning NFL organization with a real coaching staff that is actually engaged rather than considering their next moves, and to have a real quarterback, he's playing at a high level and has developed, Denton, you mentioned this earlier, and I totally agree, has developed great rapport with Jaden, as has Zach Ertz. He's on my list. He's a big-time target, okay, at 6'6". You know, young quarterbacks, running game, defense, big target, usually a tight end. I mean, Jaden doesn't play like a rookie quarterback, but anytime you got a big tight end who gets separation as a route runner, he's been healthy this year. He's been a huge plus. You're going to hear him on the show. He joined me on my podcast last night. I'm going to play that a little bit later on in the show. It's just 6 minutes with him right afterwards in the locker room, and he kind of walks through the final play and his role in the final play. 7 catches, 77 yards. Had a really nice catch on a ball that was behind him early. And then, you know, I'm sure he would have loved to have maintained full possession. That was a close call on the touchdown. But Zach Ertz has been a plus player, major, major plus player. The end of the first half is on the list of things that I liked. 55 seconds to go. They've got one timeout. They're on their own 8-yard line. They're up 9-0, and they're going to get the ball to start the second half. And yet, they were in attack mode. They were aggressive. They went for it. You know, they got it to midfield, and then at the end of the first half, decided not to throw a Hail Mary. You know, at the end of the first half, I think they were just saving it for the right moment. No, but I think they didn't throw the Hail Mary at the end of the first half, in part because sometimes on Hail Marys, quarterbacks can take some pretty big shots. They just handed the ball off to Eckler there at the end. But the mindset to go after it, considering going to get the ball to start the second half, up 9-0, field position being the number one along with timeouts, just one timeout, 55 seconds, and then your own 8-yard line. I just like the way that they are always thinking aggressively about not wasting possessions. On the list of things that I like, look, the defense is an interesting conversation for me in this season and in this game in particular, because for 3 quarters, it was outstanding. I think it was the best it's been this year. I don't know how much of it was them, but a big part of it was them. But some of it had to be Chicago. Again, for emphasis, when's the last time you've ever heard of a quarterback playing an entire game from start to finish and having just four completions for 36 yards with 10 minutes to go in the game? That's crazy town. That just doesn't happen. So Chicago had something to do with the ineptitude for basically three quarters until DeAndre Swift ripped off that 56-yard run. But I did think that the defense, you know, there are a couple of things that are givens, right? They have a couple of really good players. Frankie Louvu's exceptional. Wagner is exceptional, all right? They also play with great energy, enthusiasm, high motor. That's going to overcome a lot of things, you know, especially against lesser opponents. I thought yesterday they seemed to have Caleb confused, you know, pre-snap. I also think it would appear from a distance that Chicago is asking Caleb Williams to do too much. That's my guess. I don't have any idea if I'm right, but man, he's up there at the line of scrimmage. It seems like he's calling protections. And, you know, he's got the responsibility of getting into the right play and then executing the play. When you watch the last couple of games, especially, you know, their last two opponents, Jacksonville and Carolina, understood the opponents, but lots of quick game, lots of not, you know, having him process a lot. Yesterday, there was a lot of processing required, and he's a young quarterback. He's a rookie quarterback. And the screens that they tried to throw looked awkward. They looked disrupted by the defense. A. B, he looked unsure. And there were a couple of times where they were open and he just made a bad throw, I think one time to Keenan Allen. But look, the defense had a shutout going through basically nearly three quarters and it held that team to 107 yards and 1 for 9 on third down. So the defense for three quarters or nearly three quarters on my list of things that I liked. Players that stood out to me. I thought Johnny Newton had what appeared to be a very good football game. And I think he just keeps getting more comfortable. I think he continues to get better. I thought that, where's my list? I thought that Louvu always is noticeable. I thought Wagner and Mathis played well. I thought Martin played well. I thought Payne played well. Those were some of the, you know, numbers that I wrote down multiple times, names and numbers that I wrote down multiple times for good games, for good plays. The fourth and one stop on the quick throw to DJ Moore is a great play by St. Juice. Great play by St. Juice. Louvu comes in to close it out, but St. Juice does a great job on the tackle from keeping Moore from getting to the sticks. They played a really good stretch of defense at the end of the first half. Chicago had a first down at Washington's 23, first and 10. And they went backwards. I think it was Mathis who stopped Swift for minus one at TFL on first down. Maybe Fowler was in on that play. There was a quick pressure and a sack by Louvu, we thought, except that Caleb Williams did what he is really good at doing, which is escaping. And then Payne finished him off out of field goal range. Cleland Farrell nearly had a sack safety early in the second half. Again, the defense for basically three quarters until the Swift 56-yard touchdown run. 0 points, 107 yards. All right, the list of things that I did not like in the game. All right, number one is this. Not enough points for the way they moved the football. They had 481 yards of offense in this game. I know 52 came on the last play, but that means they had 429 before that last play and only had 12 points to show for it. Now, what were the reasons for the lack of points, yet they were moving the football and, you know, generating yards? Well, you start with the red zone where they were 0 for 3. You know, the first one ended with that, you know, pass to McCaffrey that was out of bounds. The second one, there was a penalty that kind of derailed it, I think, to Trent Scott. And the last one was the touchdown pass to Ertz that wasn't. So red zone inefficiency is one of the reasons they didn't score points despite moving the football. They were 5 for 15 on third down. That never helps. You know, they had a touchdown called back to Zacchaeus for Cosme being ineligible downfield. I don't think that was an RPO. I think that was a quick screen. But Cosme got caught downfield anyway. I'd have to go back and look at that again. I wrote down in my notes that I did not think that that was an RPO. It looked like they may have been pass blocking on that play. They missed a field goal. Seibert chunked one. You know, he did what, you know, many of us and many of you listening do sometimes when you just hit behind the ball. You know, driver, you take a chunk of grass before it hits the ball. Doesn't really get as far or go as pretty as you like. You could say that about a lot of clubs. But you do know, I think, Denton, right, that that was not tipped. That was not blocked. You know, they had the replay after when they came back, and he just hit turf before ball on a 51-yarder. Maybe on, you know, kicks longer, he's trying to drive it. Whatever it was an ugly kick. So those are some of the reasons that they didn't score more points. And, you know, there were drop balls during the day. Four of them, and probably another two or three that were catchable that you wouldn't necessarily put in the category of drop, but, you know, catchable. So that's number one on the list of things I didn't like, is a game that was dominated, yet the score didn't reflect the domination for three quarters. Number two on the list of things that I did not like. They didn't stop the run well. Bottom line is they gave up 196 yards and 5.8 yards per carry. They're not a good run-stopping team. It felt at times like they were good against the run yesterday. I agree with that. They gave up 77 yards in the first half on the ground. Some of that was to Caleb, you know, in escape mode, and that's different than getting run on. But, you know, Swift, the 56-yarder, Swift, the 22-yarder, where he hurtled, was it Jeremy Chin, I think, or Quan Martin? By the way, after he scored to make it 12-7, and then they got the stop on the missed field goal in good field position, what were they doing dropping Caleb Williams back three straight plays? Like, I kept thinking, oh my God, they've realized it now. They can run on us. And they just figured it out, and here it comes. And then they threw it three times and punted. So stopping the run is on the list of things I didn't like. And then lastly, so I mentioned earlier, there were some things that Chicago did poorly, like really incompetently, the final two plays of the game in particular, especially really the 13-yard out. That just, it's horrible. And the fact that Eberflus said it had, you know, no bearing on the outcome of the game is really embarrassing. It's an embarrassing quote from a head football coach. But I thought Washington made two mistakes. Starting with, they had a timeout, and I think once it became a decent possibility that Chicago was going to score to take the lead, they should have called a timeout on defense. And I'll give you the exact play where they should have called the timeout. With a minute 19, 3rd and 5, Caleb Williams actually on what looked like a designed run. It was a hideous-looking play. He gains 2 yards, and it's 4th and 3. And I thought, yeah, it's 4th down. Yeah, you'd love to see yourself get a stop on 4th down and there to be very little time left. But what if they convert the 4th down? Then, and you haven't called the timeout, you now have really lessened the chances of having the ball with enough time to go down and get into field goal range to either win the game or tie the game if they make a 2-point conversion. So I think they made a mistake not calling that timeout on defense. When you call it on, you can control how much time elapses between each play on offense when you have the ball. You can't on defense. So that's 35 to 40 seconds of valuable time. I think they should have called the timeout there. There would have been about a minute 14, minute 13 left before the 4th and 3, which was the interference on St. Juice, which was a good call. He grabbed Keenan Allen. That would have been a touchdown, I think, without the DPI. And then they threw the fade. I have no idea why they were throwing a first down fade to DJ Moore, which was incomplete. And then they scored on the next play. So basically, instead of 25 seconds left, you would have had roughly a minute to go on the kickoff. No timeouts, but you would have had a lot more time. So that was a mistake, number one. Number two, with 25 seconds to go after the score and the 2-point conversion, as good as Eckler's been as a kickoff returner, no way. If you've got a chance to down it, which he did, They should have taken the 25 seconds and the ball at the 30-yard line. Instead, he returned it 6 seconds off the clock down to 19, and the ball was at the 24-yard line. So it's easy to say bad decision in hindsight. I think it was the right decision beforehand. You give Jaden Daniels the ball at the 30-yard line with 25 seconds to go, and by the way, they had a timeout at that point. You get a shot down the middle of the field for 20 yards to the 50-yard line, timeout. Now you've got a play where you can go down the middle of the field potentially again and have time to get up and spike it and now kick a field goal to tie the game and force overtime. So two things they didn't do well, I thought, during the last zany, crazy couple of minutes. They should have called a timeout on defense, and I think, and they also, Eckler shouldn't have returned that kickoff. That's an easier one to say after the fact, but I felt right when he took it out, I'm like, don't do that. You know, but at the same time, I get it. Eckler's had a couple of big returns. You know, he had the one called back against the Giants. He had the big one against Cincinnati. Was it Cincinnati? You know, one big kickoff return and you're down there at their 40-yard line. Now you're, you know, in field goal range. But I would have, you know, that seems like a long shot, whereas the better shot is 25 seconds, your own 30, one timeout, legitimate chance at that point to get into field goal range. But it should have been more like 55 seconds to a minute left, no timeouts. Should have been. All right. A few other observations and your calls when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Times. Williams. He's going to be taken down by Luvu or someone else, as it turns out, as he somehow broke that, but only lost more yardage as he tried to fight his way out of a jam.
That was the end of the first half stretch. They had a first and 10 at Washington's 23 and then ended up with fourth and 27 at Washington's 40. And that sack was a minus 15-yard play. He escaped Luvu and actually worked himself further out of field goal range on that play when Payne finished him off. Washington 18, Chicago 15. The Hail Mary from Jaden Daniels, 65 yards in the air, tipped backwards to Noah Brown in the end zone, is a play that we will remember around here forever. Real quickly on just some of the other observations from the game, and then we'll get to your phone calls. I also have a quick list of the question, the poll question of the day. Is that the greatest regular season finish in franchise history? You know, when they had the ball prior to Chicago's drive that gave them the lead, they had, you know, deep in their own territory, and they had the Jaden scramble on third and five to within less than a yard. It was probably, you know, 6 inches, you know, 8 inches, something like that. There is a debate to, first of all, let me say this. I thought he got it. I thought he got it. I'm assuming they didn't challenge because they had a definitive view that said the spot was the right spot. This is the drive. They're up 12-7. 68 Kramers just fumbled the ball, you know, at the goal line. Johnny Newton recovers it. They're at their own 3-yard line. By the way, a little bit surprised that they weren't a little bit more aggressive there, maybe on a first down throw. But anyway, I think they felt like if they punted it back, Chicago wasn't going to get down there again. It was the only time they had been down there the whole game. But when you're left with fourth and inches, I have no idea, by the way, the fourth down analytics, what they would say to that. I would think that they'd say, I don't know, maybe it's 50-50 punt or go for it because it's less than a yard. I think you got to punt it there because of the context, which is the other guys basically completed like 6 passes the entire game. Are they really going to get down there again? But still, interesting situation there. I don't know what the Bears were thinking a lot. I mean, giving the ball to, I mean, they have Roschon Johnson. They've got Swift. What are you doing giving it to a lineman? Why would you get sneaky and tricky and try to have fun with it down there? I thought the first down and goal fade when they did score, what are you throwing a fade for? It's about the only thing that you could put into play that could be bad for you. By the way, as much as I've talked about Caleb Williams being pretty awful for three quarters, you know, other than his escapability. Some of the throws he made down the stretch, the one to DJ Moore, the one on the move to Keenan Allen, big time. They had 200 yards and 15 points after being shut out for basically three quarters of the game and having 107 yards. So I give him a lot of credit for hanging in there and then making the plays with the game on the line. Look, they got this shot of life of oxygen with the swift run. Lastly, just, and I've got some other things here that I'll get to during the show and probably into tomorrow as well, but the Jaden Daniels will he or won't he week that we just went through, bottom line, them publicly leaving open the possibility all week long that he might play up until, you know, game time, it couldn't have worked against them. You know, there are some people that say, whatever, it's a small advantage. No, it's not that small of an advantage. Coaches will tell you, you don't, if you can give the other team just any kind of incremental prep time that they didn't, you know, expect or plan on, it's an advantage for you. And they did that. And as it turns out, he did play. I'll be honest with you. Even after Friday, I thought there was a better chance he would not play than play. You know, the Schefter thing that came out Friday, I was still a little skeptical, a bit. And it wasn't really until yesterday morning that I really bought it hook, line, and sinker. I was watching the point spreads, Denton. It was like they weren't sure either, because it went, you know, we went from the beginning of the week, Washington -1.5 to Chicago -3 to Chicago -1, back to 3, back to 1 to Washington favored, you know, by 1.5 or 2 points once they realized it was probably going to happen. So it's a good job by an organization that used to telegraph everything by not telegraphing anything. It would have worked out in their benefit either way, whether he was ready when he took pregame warm-ups or not. All right, your turn, 301-230-0980. I've got the list of my games. I'm going to hold on to that for a moment or two, but just in describing where that game, look, it's the number one game-ending play in franchise history. Personally, I don't think that's debatable. Is it the greatest play in regular season history, period? There are a few nominees, and I'll get to them. But let's get to your calls first. Let's start with my guy, Stan. Stan in Jersey. Stan, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. How are you today? Unbelievable How game. Are you,
Stan? Yeah.
I wanted, you're going to be even sicker when you see the all 22, or Bears fans, I should say, are going to be even sicker. The reason that they did not throw that Hail Mary at the first half, I was at the game. Chicago rushed one and spread all their D linemen toward the sideline. So they knew to do it at the end of the first half. Wait till you see the alignment when they showed the end of the first half, when we did the Eckler run, the garbage run, or whatever it was. Watch Chicago's defense. They knew how to play that sideline. So
that's,
you're going to laugh when you see that.
You're saying, because there, yep. How much time was left at the end of the first half? Like 9 seconds, 8 seconds, something like that?
Yep. Watch the last play. You'll see it. They have one guy that rushes from the middle. Everyone else is to the sideline, and you're going to laugh because they knew exactly how to play it.
Well, but what they didn't choose to do, Stan, was throw a Hail Mary.
No, which I didn't understand that either. I mean, I was thinking that was because of the rib injury or whatever, but I was like, what was the point? I mean, I know you're saying you like the aggressiveness, but what is the point if you're not going to throw that Hail Mary? That's the whole point.
Fair enough. Well, the point would be you're aggressive to hope to get in field goal range, and once you didn't get into field goal range, you're not going to risk the quarterback.
That's true, but the field goal range, I think they started that drive with like 20 seconds. It would have had to have been like a Mahomes to Kelce thing.
55 seconds. 55 seconds.
No. That last drive?
Yeah, the end of the first half drive was 55 seconds.
All right, I got to double check that. I don't think it was.
Yeah, I'm positive it was. I mean, I wrote down they took over at their own 55 seconds to go.
If there's 55 seconds, then absolutely go.
Yeah.
But then again, I didn't know why they did all that and then didn't throw the Hail Mary. But I know, obviously, you can return it. You know, you got the offensive lineman on the field, all that garbage.
Yep. And I think it was more about, you know, quarterbacks do take some big hits on some of those.
Yeah. But again, just watch that defense at the end of that. At the end of that, it would have been Hail Mary play. You're going to laugh.
Yep.
Secondly, I thought you were just going to touch on this. On this 4th and 1 inch or 4th and 8 inches, the reason that I think you could make more of a case for going, I was for punting it as well, but I was skeptical because Williams just had a good drive. They've only done one thing all game, and it was that prior drive. And, you know, as a Redskins fan, you're always like, oh, the roof's caving and everything's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
So the reason I also think you could go for it is, if you've talked about this before, there was 4 minutes left or four, whatever it was.
Yeah, you shorten the field. If they score, you got plenty of time.
Exactly. You punt that ball away to them. They can control the clock all the way down to 20 seconds, which they did. Yep. You know, if you don't get that fourth down, they're forced to score the touchdown or whatever they're going to do, and then you're going to have plenty of time, like you said, to kick the field goal. So I was surprised a little bit from that aspect. I don't think Dan Quinn's even thinking that. I think probably people like me and you are.
I think he considered it, Stan. It looked like he considered it briefly, and then you saw him just go, no, punt it. I thought he got the first down, though. Like, I thought that may have been worth using your last time out to challenge.
I couldn't tell, and that's another thing. The stadium experience, they've done a little bit better of a job. They finally show replays that are close where the fans can go, oh, you know, maybe you think it affects the referee's decision or whatever. They didn't show that one when he was an inch short, where I think maybe the crowd would have been like, oh, you know, and possibly challenge it. And they at least haven't been showing the plays where when the other team does something good and it's a possibility that you know, they're going to challenge it. Sometimes they show those replays. And I'm like, why the hell would you give the coaching staff or whatever people on the sideline chances to look? So they finally gotten that a little bit right, which is good to know.
All right.
What else? Great game.
Yep.
That's really like, I mean, I'm so impressed with Jaden. I mean, I was a Caleb Williams guy before the draft. I think I told you that. I thought Jaden was the clear second. I've been wrong so far. I still think Caleb Williams is going to be really, really good. I just think Jaden does have that instinct that you're talking about. There was a play, I don't know if you touched on this, he like jumps as a guy is going to swing at his legs. He jumps. Yeah. It's in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's like a little skip. He just has incredible feel, you know, athletic feel for where everybody is spatially.
I don't know how he's got the athleticism to make it just look great. Yeah, you're looking at it from the stands, and you're like, how did he see that? That he just jumped, and I think he got like 3 or 4 yards or whatever. But it was like, it was crazy. It should have been, you know, he shouldn't have known that guy was there. You know?
He's special. Thanks, Stan. Appreciate it. I want to get some other callers here. Let's go to Ivan. Ivan down in lovely Florida. What's up?
Hey, Kevin. What up, man? Hey, Kevin. You and I both said early on he's a better than RG3. Kevin, you know what that last play was? It was a bond. It was a bond. Jaden Bond. You see how cool and unflappable that rollout was
amazing,
on that last play?
Yeah.
It was out there like a Sunday walk. It was like on that, I called it the hail to the W play as a hat tip to Pauly. But that was awesome. That was James Bond cool. If I had any tech skills, Kevin, I would put together a collection of Jaden's escape runs, like the little hops and the skips.
Yeah.
And put it to the James Bond theme music, Kevin. Hey, maybe somebody listening will do that. Hey, listen, Kevin. I told you this, and I know it's crazy, but if it was me, I would sit him for the Giants game. You know, to get him completely healthy. It looked like he tweaked it again.
What are you talking about? Why would you sit him? It looked like he tweaked it again. If he's hurt, you sit him. If he's healthy, you play him. This one's not that hard. Even you can get this one. If he's healthy and he can play like Jaden, which he did yesterday, he plays. If he can't, he doesn't.
Kevin.
What?
No more tweaks, Kevin. Set him for that 3-game Steeler stretch. Hey, listen, Kevin.
You got a chance to be the one seed.
I understand that, Kevin. You and I both, we've playoffs. I called it early in the year, Kevin. But I would. You got a 3-game stretch, which is crucial. That's starting with the Steelers game, and if he tweaked it, and it's subject to getting hurt again, I don't want him tweaking it all season long.
Okay,
let him get completely healthy.
Doc, do me a favor. Send me your medical prognosis from down in Florida from the 8T box, and we'll go from there. I mean, I love you dearly, but you want to sit him for multiple games. Okay.
No, one game. Set him for the Giants game. Hey, Kevin, I might not speak to you live again for a while, So I leave you with this.
Why?
Trump,
where are you
Trump,
going?
Trump.
You're going underground if he wins, or you're above ground if he wins. By the way, a buddy of mine said real quickly, Ivan, Connery or Craig, which one is Jaden? Those are the two. By the way, those would be my two leading candidates too. Which Bond? All right. I'd probably go Sean Connery. That's the right comp. He is so... the funny thing is, he's such a good kid. It certainly appears from afar, but I've talked to a lot of people that have gotten to know him a little bit. They love him. They love him out there. They love everything that he's about. Just, gets it. He's not like the greatest communicator of all time. His charisma comes in his game and style of playing. It's so cool. It is. Let's go to Bones. Bones, thanks for holding. Go ahead, Bones.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Dan. How y'all doing?
What's up,
thanks
Bones? How are you, sir?
Talk. Hey, look, check this out. Man, I don't want to hear no more discussions about how we're going to match up with the teams in the NFL. This team we got, Kevin, is good. This team we got is dynamite good. The defense is good. The quarterback is super excellent. Man, and I love the way the charisma that the players are playing with and the confidence and stuff. And you see that Fred Astaire step that Jaden Daniels did on one of the plays?
Yeah.
He give him the Fred Astaire move, man. And that boy, what his name, Johnny Newton? Oh, man, they tough up on the front four. Hey, man, look, thanks for taking my call, man.
You got
look,
it,
all
Bones.
The doubters, man, get rid of the doubters, man. This team is ready for the NFL.
Be
thanks
good.
For taking my call.
My man Bones. Let's go to Joe in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Kevin, how you doing, man?
What's up, Joe?
What is Ivan thinking for real about sitting? I don't want to talk about Ivan
if
right
he's,
now.
Look,
anyway,
if for whatever reason we get word today that he tweaked something and it's another wait and see, okay.
Yeah,
you don't play him if he can't play like himself. Yesterday he played like himself. I would have been really pissed off if he didn't play in that game and he was healthy enough to do what he did in that game yesterday. Like that, with you don't want any long-term risk. They're not going to take long-term risk. These guys are smart. These guys aren't going to put him out there if there's great risk. But right now, we are playing for a one or a two seed. And by the way, I'm talking about the NFL playoffs. It's been forever. We don't have these conversations around here. We haven't had them in a quarter century. Even the 6-2 Zorn team, I mean, it was a little bit fraudulent, right? I mean, love Jason Campbell, great soul, and a decent quarterback. We got right now a top 3 or 4 quarterback in the league. And
right,
that
so,
gives
well,
you a chance
so,
against so, anybody every week. What? Go ahead, Joe.
Right, so I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll give you my quick look, like what I didn't like. Like, Jaden Daniels is the top of the list. All week I was concerned and nervous, as we all were, if we would be able to play because of his ribs. And the coaching staff, give them a ton of credit, they handled it great. They were quiet about it. They did. I mean, how they handled it all week. Terry McLaurin, my God, I mean, he is loving that he has a quarterback. I mean, yesterday, hooking up for that 61-yarder, the defense had another great game. I mean, yes, they allowed the Bears to get back into it. But I got to tell you, Kevin, Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu, what great additions they've had for us in the offseason. I mean, they may not appear in the stat sheet, but their constant blitzes and disruptions every single time on Caleb Williams, I mean, it shows up big time.
Yeah, Louvu's legit, a legit threat as a move-around guy defensively. You can put him anywhere, and his motor is top-end. And he's also an excellent pass rusher. That was the get. I mean, I'm not talking draft. Obviously, the number one get was 5. But Louvu's the number one get in the free agent class, in my opinion. Not even close, actually. He's their best defensive player, and there's not a close second at this point. Wagner, to your point, is good and has played really well. They got a couple of other good players. It just hasn't, come together against a really good offensive opponent yet. And again, like, they're going to play another team this coming week that's not very good offensively. Chicago was better offensively than Cleveland, than Carolina, but they weren't Baltimore. They don't have another Baltimore. I don't know, maybe Philadelphia twice. What else you got, Joe? Let's go to Ray in Frederick. Ray, go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. I got a few things to say.
Sure.
Number one is that was a great win. And two, who's after Trent Scott? Because Bobby Johnson can make so much magic, but, you know, that's something we got to think about. And if that wasn't Jaden-esque, and he was playing, let's say, 75-80%, and he was able to do all the things, wow, you know? Let's think about it this way. If next year, by next year, if Jaden is getting the Mahomes treatment in terms of, oh, don't hurt him, don't, if you hurt him, I'm going to flag you, you know? We literally lucked out. And
yeah.
And three, and I want to think, if Dan Quinn said, hey, it's not a, it's a recalibration, right? If this recalibration is done now, I think Adam Peters, it's time for him to like make some moves, you know? If we have that chance.
We've got the rest of the week. We've had these conversations already. I think on a day like today, we're bathing in one of the most memorable endings of a game, maybe the most memorable ending to a game in franchise history. I'm with you. I want them to not, you know, think in terms of, oh, this is still a building block season. It's okay if we just win the division or get a wild card and maybe participate in the playoffs. No. You know, I just read this quote from Tracy Wolfson, who was, you know, sideline reporter for the Nance Romo crew on CBS. She just tweeted out, my Monday morning recap, I've been a part of a lot of incredible games, but that one is right at the top. Right now, it's Washington's world, and we are all living in it. When a team has it, as in the it factor, things tend to just work out. Think Chiefs. This Commanders team is special. You know, you have this feeling that just good just continues to beget good. You know, the bounce of the ball is going their way. Everything seems to be, you know, aligning for them. And you have these special seasons where, you know, it's not just about sort of luck or, you know, the idea that it just happens and that it'll continue to happen. No, that's not, you know, a law of probability. They're making it happen, though. There's a real spirit and an enthusiasm. And I heard, you know, others say a real brotherhood, like they've never been in a locker room. This is where Quinn was 100% the right hire. They knew what they were looking for. The staff that he's put together, the kind of players they've been looking for. I want them to take advantage of this opportunity that they have. I do. You know, you're not guaranteed them in the future, although when you have the quarterback right, and they appear to have the quarterback right, you're probably going to get a lot of swings at it in years to come. But this just feels right now, and it's not even half over the regular season. 9 games left. But man, it feels like it's never felt here. Not since, you know, what I've waxed about, you know, many times, not so poetically about the past, you know, about the glory years. You know, some of you, most of you remember that. A lot, some of you don't, but it's starting to feel a little bit like that. You know, that 82 team, it was a strike year. It's a weird year, but just everything. You know, Mosley's, you know, stretch of field goals. You know, the kick in the snow. Just every scene, everything just seemed to go their way. And right now, everything seems to be going this team's way. And I think a lot of it's, you know, self-created by really, in a weird way, just positive thinking, enthusiasm. And everybody being on the same page. All right, stay on hold. We'll take more of your calls next. All right, so the Window Nation poll question of the day was Sunday's Hail Mary, the best regular season play in franchise history. I don't think there's any debate that it's the greatest game-ending play in franchise history, regular season or postseason. It's the only Hail Mary I can ever remember working. I can't even recall an end of first half Hail Mary that worked. Maybe some of you will correct me. But here are some other incredible kind of you know, regular season plays in franchise history. Can Houston's stop of Walt Garrison in that famous 1973 Monday night game is a famous play in franchise history. It's a great play, and it preserved a 14-7 win. That's up there on the list. Santana Moss twice on Monday night, to me, is on the list. I know it's not one play, but the combination of the two bombs to Santana Moss is shocking. The Troy Vincent blocked field goal picked up by Sean Taylor, face mask on the play leading to a Nick Novak walk-off field goal, is on the list. Griffin's 76-yard touchdown run against Minnesota in 2012 is on the list. Santana Moss taking one in overtime against Jacksonville in 2006, 68 yards, is on the list. A similar play to Gary Clark's hitch and then escape and touchdown in overtime in 86 to beat the Vikings 44-38. Mosley's kick in the snow against the Giants in 82 is on that list. We showed Darryl Green's pick six against the Lions in overtime to beat them as well in 95. So those are plays, you know, regular season-wise that are up there, but I think this one's number one. This is the greatest game-ender in franchise history, without a doubt, a walk-off. And I think it's the greatest play in regular season franchise history. It's certainly a part of it will live on, especially as we get to watch this career of Jaden Daniels play out. All right, let's get back to the phone lines. 301-230-0980. Ian, go.
Two things. One, the cliche of more games are lost than won apply to both teams, because there were multiple points where you felt Washington should have run away with this game and it never be close. So if they had lost, you're right, you would have been left scratching your head. And then on the Chicago side, you feel the same way, not covering McLaurin, the way they covered that. It felt like it was a game where both teams could have quote-unquote lost. The other thing is the Eddie Jordan quote of harvest your nuts. The job isn't to be great now. It's to get as many wins, be rolling at the right time in the playoffs. I think that's exactly what you want to walk away if you're Washington. But I push back on this notion about Peters and special sauce and Dan Quinn and karma and the vibes. It's all Jaden Daniels. It is all Jaden Daniels. That play, the plays he makes are off schedule. Those aren't Cliff Kingsbury, everything is like painting by the numbers, Kirk Cousins type plays. These are things he is creating. He is dynamic. And we talk about this all the time.
Look, it's always the Jimmies league and the Joes. All right, we can say that about almost any sport, but they have built something where everybody's buying in and everybody is has an attitude, an enthusiastic attitude versus what typically is your attitude, which is killjoy, prophet of doom. And it's just a very positive approach to everything. And that's top down, Ian. That's top down.
No, that's Kevin, there is no Patriots way. Tom Brady leaves, that organization is nothing. It is a quarterback-driven league to the max. If
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying the overall output is, of course, number one on the list is Jaden Daniels. Duh. Of course, if they didn't have him, if Taylor Heinicke or Sam Howell were quarterbacking, it would be a nice try-hard outfit, but they'd be, at this point, they'd be, you know, 3-5 or 2-6. Of course. It's obvious.
Okay.
Let's go to... I want to get some other calls in here. People have been on hold forever. Billy and Chantilly, go.
Kevin, good morning. It's unbelievable. This guy is unbelievable. Last week, I called him the greatest pocket quarterback I have ever
that was
seen.
A bit
I think
much.
You owe me an apology.
I think he is the greatest rookie
pocket quarterback I've ever seen.
No, that's different. That's not what you said. You said he's the greatest pocket quarterback I've ever seen play in the NFL. Not rookie. You didn't make that distinction.
Okay, well, look, that's semantics. Here's the bottom line. This guy is the greatest rookie quarterback I have ever seen in the history of the NFL, as long as I've been watching. That's my opinion. This guy is unbelievable. It's the second time this year that I jumped off the couch, and the last time was the Monday Night Miracle, which Cincinnati. You already talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati throw.
I jumped on – look, who didn't? I mean, if you're just an NFL fan, you jumped.
If you didn't, you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. It was great.
The insurrection throw against Cincinnati. This guy is uniting a community. It is bigger than football, what he's done. He took a fan base that had 6 foot of dirt over it, and in seven games has turned this city into a buzz. Kevin.
You know what that's leading to, Billy, and we're not getting into this today, but
okay.
Just so everybody knows, you know what I'm going to say, right?
Yeah.
What am I going to say?
We're going to win the Super Bowl.
No. I mean, I think we're actually in contention for the Super Bowl. I think we're legitimate Super Bowl contenders right now. That I'm not kidding about that. What I was going to say is the perfect storm for the name stays the same was winning big, winning with a superstar at quarterback, and then having a few indelible all-time moments to go
right
with it. And the only piece that's missing from that perfect storm is a deep, deep run into the postseason. Hey, guys,
we'll have time tomorrow.
I got to run. I'm up against a hard break. Ben Standing's going to join us next. We'll try to get back to some calls this upcoming hour because I know so many of you want to weigh in, and I want to hear from you. And we got all week, certainly, before we have to start thinking about the Giants. They can start thinking about the Giants right now. We don't have to until maybe Saturday. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Ben Standing next.